Good morning and welcome to this virtual service of Franconia Mennonite Church. As we've been saying a lot in these past few weeks, this is a time for practicing physical distance, but also, and more importantly, spiritual solidarity. Though we are not physically present with one another, we are nevertheless connected spiritually through the person, work, and resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And so we welcome you here this morning in the name of Jesus to worship with us in this way. There certainly has been a lot that has changed over these past number of weeks, this past month plus, but one of the things that has not changed is our mission as a church. Our mission remains the same, and our mission is this. Led by the Holy Spirit, we are an Anabaptist congregation committed to following Jesus in all things, so that God's love would flow through us to our community and to the world. That is and continues to be who we are and why we exist. We are first and foremost led by the Holy Spirit. We are unapologetically Anabaptist. We are passionate about following Jesus. And we exist to experience and to share the love of God. So it is our hope and our prayer that during this live stream this morning, and in everything that we would say and do as a church, that that mission would be the driving force. So with that end in mind, we invite you into this time of worship. Let me offer a prayer for us. Lord God, as we gather today, each in our own spaces, we honor you. Father, we lay aside our own desires, and we offer our hearts and our lives to you as a living sacrifice. We pray that you would be glorified in everything we do and in everything we say. And God, above all, that our lives, as individuals and as a faith community, that our lives and our life together would honor you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life. Amen.
I invite you to join in singing a song that speaks of God's faithfulness and his strength. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. All together. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and outstretched arms, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever.
Strong. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, great is your name. Forever, God, you are with us. Forever, God, you are faithful. You reign from everlasting to everlasting, and you are holy. We praise you, Father God, for your amazing works. And although many of us have been slowed down from the busyness of our lives, we ask you to help us look at this as a blessing so we can redirect our focus on you. We thank you, Father God, for continuing to work day in and day out of our lives. But with this, Father God, we ask for forgiveness. We ask for forgiveness, O God, when we have gone astray. Holy Spirit, guide us back onto the path that leads to righteousness. We desire to be humble and obedient, but we acknowledge, Lord God, that sin can take a hold of us. Anger, pride, lust, envy, and so many more. In this time of isolation, give us your strength, O Jesus, to stay the course, to be steady, hopeful, to be calm, to rebuke the sin that's in our lives in your name. Forgive us. We pray for our nation's leaders. We ask you to soften their hearts where there needs to be softening. Provide wisdom where there needs to be wisdom. But most of all, Father, we ask you to help our leaders to focus on you. We pray for the sick and ask for your healing hand to be upon them. Loved ones and those close to us who are struggling with coronavirus, we ask you to help their breathing. May your hand be upon their chest. Give them restoration with their health, Lord. And Father, we pray for teachers and youth and parents whose schedules have altered when it comes to schooling. For the teachers, Father God, we ask that you give them strength to carrying out schooling online. For youth, we ask you to help them focus. And for parents, we pray, Father God, for patience upon them. And finally, Lord, we pray for your name to be known. We pray for the day when every knee will bow, declaring you Lord of all. You are our Lord, Jesus, and we pray for your light to shine through us in ways that will honor and glorify you. In your name we pray. Amen. A couple of announcements before we continue. One is regarding Chosen 300. So Chosen 300 is still going on as planned this Tuesday, April 21st. But there are some changes that we would like to highlight. The first is this, that they can take up to 10 volunteers, and right now they need about 5 or 6 more people that are willing to serve this Tuesday. They're asking all volunteers, please wear face masks. They only have a couple for persons at the door, so they ask if you have one to bring your own, and social distancing will be practiced. Help will be in the kitchen, filling plates, and then a couple persons in the lobby putting food trays together for bags to be takeout only, and then a couple persons at the curb distributing food. The plan is to still meet here at Franconia Mennonite Church at our Upper Fellowship Hall at 4:30 p.m. So if you are interested in attending or volunteering this Tuesday for Chosen 300, please contact Scott Kratz. And then regarding Vacation Bible School, we'd like to announce that a decision has been made to postpone Franconia's VBS from June to the fall of 2020. We want to make sure that we are being as safe, especially when it comes to the care of our kids here at Franconia and in the community as well. The VBS team will be putting together ideas and plans for what a possible kids program will look like in the fall. So we just ask you to please stay tuned for more information on this. And now I'd like to invite Pastor Josh forward with an announcement.
Thanks, Kyle. Well, I am glad to share this morning an announcement on behalf of the discipling ministry team. As you may know, we have an entire ministry team here at the church devoted to all of our ongoing discipleship, that is helping us grow in our faith and deepen our commitment to Jesus Christ. That happens, of course, in a variety of different ways, and today we are happy to share a new resource that we are providing. It is called Right Now Media. Right now, media is sort of like the Netflix of Christian Bible studies. There are literally thousands and thousands and thousands of video Bible studies available through this platform. So we felt particularly right now, during this time when it is more difficult for us to gather together physically to study God's Word, this would be a great opportunity to get this resource into your hands. So as a church, we now have a subscription to Right Now Media. What that means is all of you now also have access to all of that content as well. I'll say a little bit more about how to sign up for an account in just a moment, but for now, take a look at this quick video which highlights some of Right Now Media's offerings.
Welcome to our study of the Gospel of John.
I have fallen in love with the work of Paul as I've studied the book of 1 Corinthians, and I believe you will too.
This is where Jesus taught in Capernaum, and you have to understand this scene.
The Lord is my shepherd. And over the next 6 weeks, we're going to look deeply into the 23rd Psalm.
Right Now Media. It's for groups. It's for personal devotion. It's for parents.
The bullseye of parenting is to raise children who become like Jesus.
It's for kids.
This is Phil. We're digging into the Bible, which, as we've mentioned, is more than just a book.
It's for tough times.
So when you recognize that you're trying to have a conversation with your spouse and they're not ready to talk, it's not helpful to keep pressing
right.
them.
It's for every phase of life.
If you've made mistakes with money, you know what that makes you? Over 12.
And now, it's yours. We've purchased a Right Now Media subscription for everyone in our church. So check your inbox for the digital invitation and download the app for instant access to thousands of biblically based videos. Get equipped. Get inspired.
So as you can see, there is a lot that this resource offers. There are tons of Bible studies for group and individual use. There's a whole section of kids content on there already. I'll say my kids have already been watching some of the programs that are available for kids. There's even a feature where we can, as a church, upload some of our own content onto our church's Right Now Media page. So you'll be able to access our services, our sermons. When we do Bible studies and gatherings here at the church, we'll be able to upload all of that in this space as well. So here's how you can sign up. Later today, you will be getting an email. If we have an email address on file for you, you're going to be getting this email. In the email will be a link for you to click. You click that link, you will be prompted to create a Right Now Media account. If you create that account by clicking on our link, your account will be under our church's paid subscription. And so you will have access to all of that content. If you do not get that email at some point today, feel free to reach out to us and we can follow up with a direct email link to you. You will continue to hear more about this over the coming weeks. We think this is a valuable resource, and so we want as many people as possible to take advantage of it. Also, I'll just be honest, we're paying for it, so we want as many people as possible to take advantage of it as well. Of course, if you have any questions about any of this, we are here to guide you and assist you as best we can. That's all the announcements we have for today. So at this point, Pastor Mark is going to come and teach us from God's Word. Mark.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you in this way. As I've said every week, we'd much rather be here in the same space with you, but we are here in the same spirit with you, and we gather together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our resurrected Lord. Every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. And so we gather in this way to celebrate again the resurrection of Jesus Christ over the power of sin and death. This Sunday, we are beginning a new sermon series called Trusting the Shepherd, where we are looking at Psalm 23. There's probably no other piece of scripture that is known as well as Psalm 23, except perhaps the Lord's Prayer or John 3:16. It's an ancient psalm. It's a psalm of David. And I thought it would be appropriate for us at the beginning of this to listen to it read and recited in Hebrew, the original language. So I have a short video clip here of somebody reciting this in Hebrew, and you'll see the words moving on the screen with the Hebrew. The English translation is also on the page. And then we'll follow by reciting this ourselves. Let's listen.
Mizmor le David, Adonai ro'i lo ehsar. Bin ot deshe yarbitzeni, al me menuchot yinahaleni. Nafshi yeshovev, yanheni vema'agele tzedek lema'an shimo. Gam ki elech bege tzalmavet, lo ira ra. כי אתה עמדי, שבתך ומשענתך, המה ינחמוני. תערוך לפני שולחן נגד צורריי, דשנת ושמן ראשי, כוסי רוויה. אך טוב וחסד ירדפוני כל ימי חיי, ושבתי בבית אדוני, לאורך ימים.
I think that's beautiful, and I hope you do too. It's a psalm that comes to us from the Hebrew people, and we as Christians take it as one of our own psalms that speaks deeply to us about the love of God. Would you join me in reciting this? Now, I learned this in old-fashioned English, King James English, and so that's the way I'm going to recite it, but I invite any of you to say it in whatever form you have. I'll be looking primarily at verse 1 today, but I think it would be great if we can just recite this together as we are able. And if you can't, pull your Bible open and read from Psalm 23. Together, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's not at all unusual for a child, before they can even learn how to read, to recite this passage. An old man on his deathbed may be saying this psalm as well. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a precious psalm. And we'd like to explore over the next 6 weeks, 5 weeks, taking verse by verse, looking at this psalm. We think it's particularly appropriate in this season to take a look at what really matters. We have a God who can be trusted, a shepherd to be trusted. And this is what we want to unpack in depth in the coming weeks. I had no trouble thinking of four or five songs that take this text and put it to different tunes. I'm not going to do that now. But as I was thinking about this, it wasn't difficult at all to just sort of go through and think of a variety of songs. Most of us don't know a shepherd. Don't know a shepherd, have never been one, don't know a shepherd, And even if we knew a shepherd here in Montgomery County or somewhere in Pennsylvania, it would be a far cry from what David is talking about. A shepherd here in North America has fences. A shepherd here in North America has all kinds of modern technology. As you know, I grew up in Africa, and it was a common scene as a boy in rural Africa to see shepherd boys and shepherd girls out minding the flocks. They looked like this. And like this, there are no fences. There are wild animals around. Driving down the road, you'd come to a huge flock of sheep all the way across the road, and you would crawl your way through this sheep flock that has just spread all the way across the road. Sheep don't take care of themselves. They don't. They will fall prey to wild animals. They will run away. They won't know where to get the food. They won't know where to get the water. They are dependent on the shepherd. That's one of the characteristics of sheep. They can't take care of themselves. They require a shepherd. This is a picture I found online of an Ethiopian shepherd in a very characteristic posture, I guess I would say. The staff across his shoulders, walking with his hands like this. This is what I recall. Sheep and shepherd are a very beloved and a very common metaphor in the Bible. Sheep are the most often mentioned animal in the whole Bible, 400 times. Shepherd, about 100 times. And in the ancient Near East, pastoral literature was a particular kind of literature that often looked at the leader, the king, or the leader and the people as the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. It's a common metaphor, a common image. The word for pastor originally is shepherd. That's where the word pastoral leadership comes from, shepherd leadership. Sheep were also, in the ancient Near East, a central part of the economy. Food, they would provide food. They would provide wool for clothing, milk for drinking. They were often currency. You would trade sheep in order to purchase other things. And they were also central in many of the religious ceremonies of the time. The Jewish historian Josephus writes that in the year 70 AD, that's about 38 years after the death of Christ, in Passover in Jerusalem, get this, Passover in Jerusalem, there were 256,500 sheep that were sacrificed. You got that? 256,500 sheep sacrificed in one Passover in Jerusalem. Philly's stadium seats 43,000. The number of sheep that were sacrificed in Passover is six times that amount. You get a feeling of what a huge part of the ancient economy sheep were. They were useful. They were everywhere. There was common pasture. There wasn't any fences. You needed a shepherd to watch out for the sheep. And we read in our Bible as well that the image of shepherd and sheep is one that is attributed to God and God's people. We hear it in the voice of the people. Psalm 100, shout for joy, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Isaiah 53, all we, like sheep, have gone astray.
Every one of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We also hear this image in the voice of God. In Ezekiel 34, this is what the sovereign Lord says, "I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. Like a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on the day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them back." As I'm preaching here at this time, I have the very same image of us gathering from where we have been scattered, coming back and being together, the Lord bringing us back together, even as we are connected by the Spirit now. It's an image that's powerful for me. Drawing back together in the same space, celebrating together, shouting for joy to the Lord, worshiping the Lord with gladness. We are his flock, the people of his care. We hear this in the voice of Jesus as well, who says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." The Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. This isn't about possession. This isn't about private property at all. This is about identity, relationship, something that is a fact, but it's not only a fact. It has intimacy. It's a relationship that I care about. Dr. Putney is a family physician. Dr. Putney is my family physician. Univest is a bank. Univest is my bank. Get a little more edgy. Tom Wolfe is governor. Tom Wolfe is my governor. Equal opportunity. Donald Trump is president. Donald Trump is my president. You hear how it changes the fact into the relationship? Franconia Church is a Mennonite congregation. Franconia Church is my congregation. God is the good shepherd. God is my shepherd. This is one of the beautiful things about this psalm. It comes from David, who knew what it was like to be a shepherd, and he identifies, he knows God as his shepherd in an intimate kind of relationship. That word, small word, my, becomes powerful, caring, personal, intimate, not private property, but a love that is rich and pure. Who is my shepherd? This is the key to the whole thing. This is the heart of the message. Who is my shepherd? Remember, sheep are completely dependent on their shepherd. With a bad shepherd, you have emaciated, skinny, sick, forlorn sheep wanting to run away and find good pastures. A good shepherd, the sheep thrive. They are well taken care of. Their ailments are ministered to. They are taken to places where there is water and food. They feel secure. Who is my shepherd? Put your own name in there. Who is Mark's shepherd, Mary's shepherd, Josh's shepherd? Who is my shepherd? It is the Lord, Yahweh. When you look at English translations and you see the word Lord in all capital letters, that's what used to be translated in King James Version as Jehovah, Yahweh. the name of God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is what we hear in this passage. The Lord is one, the very same Lord who came and rescued and saved in Jesus Christ. In the ancient Near East, it was the competition for the Lord, for worshiping the Lord, were the fertility gods that were all around that helped to make crops grow, people thought. And Israel said, no, we have been called by Yahweh. Today, the competition for the Lord as my shepherd goes like this. There are those who say, there is no God. The only thing that we can know for sure is what we can see or test with our five senses. There is no God. This passage says something very different. The Lord is my shepherd. Then there's another competing kind of viewpoint that you see in the Star Wars movie, or if you've seen the movie Avatar, that there's kind of a life force, a kind of intelligent energy that is in the universe. And so you need to tap into that. Pay attention to the force. Note what's going on around you, kind of an energy or intimacy there in nature. But within that, there is no morality. There is no right or wrong. And there is no real relationship. What we find in this psalm and what we find in the Lord is a personal God known to us in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This creator, saving God is known to us in the three persons of the Holy Spirit, Father God, and Jesus Christ. We are not accidents or by chance beings. We have been created by God for relationship with Him within our own hearts. There is a hole that only He can fill because He is the Creator. I recently read a book by Chuck Colson called The Faith. I think I have the copy of it here. Chuck Colson, The Faith, What Christians Believe, Why They Believe It, and Why It Matters. He has a particularly moving section there on the Trinity. And he pictures the Trinity as three persons with love flowing between them, the ultimate ideal relationship of love flowing between them and receiving it from each other. And in fact, that's the very same kind of relationship that we are invited into in this relationship by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Colson says, Christianity offers a depth of spirituality and encounter with God unknown in any other religion. We are able to know God intimately without diminishing His transcendent character as creator. I don't know about you, but I find that terrifically moving. I'm not just a blob of DNA and chromosomes that happen to have a pulse and to be moving around. By this statement, I am changed from being just a blob of DNA and chromosomes. By this statement, the Lord is my shepherd, I sense a purpose and a meaning and an ultimacy to my life that I otherwise would not know. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's look briefly at the second phrase. I shall not want, or I shall not be in want. This is not saying that we will get everything that we want. This is not saying that believers will not go through deep hardship. This is not saying that the Good Shepherd gives everything that the sheep demand. I shall not want, says, I will lack nothing essential that the shepherd knows that I need for living the life that he wants me to. In fact, it's often those folks who have the deepest spiritual vitality and depth that I know, almost without exception, they are persons who have gone through real difficult times in their lives. And they have learned, even in the midst of that, that the Lord will provide. This is something I've heard my dad say multiple times. When there's a question about what's going to happen, what's going to go on, what the Lord will provide. That's what we're saying when we say, I shall not want. I trust the shepherd to provide what I need. Andre Crouch. I've seen tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong, but in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials are there to help me get strong. Through it all, oh, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. We hear this echoed in the Apostle Paul. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We can say this even when we are full of doubt. We can say it as an aspirational claim of faith. If you are someone watching today and you are not sure what to make of all of this God talk, I invite you just to practice saying this. And in the saying of it, God will speak to you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You can say it when you're in despair. You can say it when you're dancing. You can say it every day. In fact, this is one of my daily prayers. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We can say it in every situation. It fits because the Lord is always present. Let me conclude with a personal story. This is some time ago. Kathy was out of town. There was some drama in my extended family. There had been some meetings at church where there was sharp differences of opinion. I had some unusual bills to pay. I went to bed. I wasn't feeling real hot. I woke the next morning with a song on my mind. It's not a song that I had thought about for a long time. My shepherd will supply my need. I grabbed my cell phone, which wasn't far away, and I looked around on YouTube to see if I could find a version of this song. My shepherd will supply my need. Jehovah is His name. There it was. I lay in bed that morning and wept. It was a gift from God. It was a gift from God in a moment that I needed. And it became a refrain for the day and for the next weeks. This psalm reassures us that the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's listen.
Bum, bum, bum.
Beautiful. Thank you, Mark, for sharing that. Let's join together in singing the familiar hymn, Savior, Like a Shepherd Lead Us. The words will be on the screen. All together.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender Jesus, blessed Jesus, Thou hast bought us thine, we are. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus.
Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Friends, may you experience an intimate, caring connection with the Lord. May the Lord, Yahweh, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be your personal God. And may you come to trust in the loving provision of our good shepherd. Friends, I pray that that would be true in your life this week, and also that it would be true through your life as you interact with others. Amen. May you go in peace.